Welcome to Piano Fortissimo, the podcast where the world of classical music meets personal stories and professional insights. I'm your host, Alexandra Silocha, concert pianist and bossa nova artist for over two decades. Join me as we explore the intricacies of music careers, the artistry behind pianos and other instruments, dive deep with special guests from all corners of the arts, and uncover the nuances of cultural and self-management. Whether you're an aspiring musician, a performer, or simply a music lover, this podcast offers something for everyone. Welcome to this new episode. Joining us today is a special guest from Bösendorfer, a company known for its exceptional pianos and rich history. Please welcome Zebren van Hoog, a master piano technician. Zebren, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, welcome, Alexandra, and in the Bösendorfer Salon, where we have this little talk today. Thank you for inviting me.
To start off, Zebren, our audience on social media knows you quite well. You, or better said, we went viral with our Discover series last year, where we produced about 30 episodes showcasing various mechanical and technical aspects of Bösendorfer piano. The series has garnered millions of views, and since then, whenever I post something about the Bösendorfer Salon or visit the factory in Wiener Neustadt, my followers always ask about you and when we'll be filming new content together. So, therefore, it was only natural for me to ask you as my first podcast guest. So here we are at the Bösendorfer Salon, surrounded by around 14 pianos, I've counted them. Also some background music, somebody is practicing in the Musikverein. But before we start, let me tell you a bit of the magic of Bösendorfer. The piano manufacturer is not only the oldest one within the premium segment, but all their Bösendorfer grounds also share distinct and fundamental features in the way they are crafted. It is safe to say they are obsessed by crafting the ultimate piano sound experience. This difference to other brands results in the unique Bösendorfer DNA, the warm yet brilliantly colorful sound. Each instrument is crafted with utmost care and dedication by the hands of the Bösendorfer artisans. Contrary to all other manufacturers, Bösendorfer constructs instruments concentrating on the use of spruce. More than 80% of this wood, ideal for instruments, can be found in Bösendorfer pianos. Very similar in principle to a violin, the whole body, not exclusively the soundboard, supports sound formation. The actual core of the piano rim consists of a 10mm quarter sawn piece that is specially grooved by their craftsmen to allow it to be bent to the silhouette around the inner rim. This is unique to Bösendorfer. So when a note is played, the integrated spruce components become acoustically active, forming a complete resonating body that allows the whole instrument to project your play. This complex construction is part of the Viennese tradition of piano making. They use more than 80% of spruce tone wood, building their instruments more than any other manufacturer. The Austrian spruce has to be grown at a minimum of 800 meters above sea level, guaranteeing a very dense and regular grain structure. When you add the natural drying process to the manufacturing time, it actually takes 6 years until the Bösendorfer grand arrives at your doorstep. This is a precious time necessary to craft the unique Bösendorfer sound. Another particularity, Bösendorfer is the only piano manufacturer that applies a detachable and independent capo d'astro in the upper register. This is how they assure most precious adjustments in the upper register, guaranteeing the original Bösendorfer sound for generations. So Zebren, how long do we know each other, and can you remember how and where we first worked together?
Yes, I can remember very clearly. I don't know what year it was, but...
I know, 2019.
Okay. It was in Romania, of course, in Bucharest, where I met you, I think. What is very vivid for me is that we had lunch together in a very good restaurant, which you yes. recommended me.
Exactly. The one where I go every time.
Yes, yeah. and we managed to meet there in between rehearsals, and I got a little bit of your story with Bösendorfer. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually, I think, working for Shostakovich's second piano concerto.
Yes, so it was my debut at the Enescu Festival.
Yes.
With Shostakovich's second piano concerto and Vladimir Yurovsky.
Yes, a wonderful, wonderful piece. Yes. And I think we got the piano there and we had some challenges with the piano. That's what I remember. And I was working pretty hard during crazy hours to somehow manage that, because there's a lot of concerts and activities going on. So I worked during the night and early mornings to get that piano ready. And that's what I remember.
Yeah, that's what I remember too. I can still picture you during the night in the concert hall and working and then hoping that in the morning all is done.
That you'll be satisfied with my work.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about your role at Bösendorfer? So also, what does a typical day looks like for you as a piano technician where you're in Vienna, but also in your home, I mean, when you're abroad?
No, I can say that I'm almost 10 years now with Bösendorfer, so I spent a long time working in the factory. But besides that, I also worked in Vienna in the main houses, I would say, the State Opera and the theaters, and of course the Musikverein and Concerthaus. So I think it's a job with a lot of variety, although I'm not traveling so much anymore because I have this responsibility now here in Vienna for the Musikverein. So that means there's a lot of activities there going on. And besides that, I'm also responsible for the instruments in the Bösendorfer Salon. So I'm more home-based now, I would say.
Well, you travel with me.
And I've traveled with you. So I do some occasional travel and recordings. So that is very nice also for me. But let me say that my work is usually in fine-tuning the Bösendorfer instruments to really have them perform at their best. And also I do a kind of a yearly service here also in the Musikverein on all the instruments that are being used. So that's quite an amount of instruments, so that they are ready for the next season. Actually, that's what I'm doing at the moment. During the summer, there's no concerts, so then I'm doing the service on the instruments. So.
I love how you always use the word in German, Flotte.
Yeah.
For me, it's like really like at the airport and all the spaceships are getting ready.
all the airplanes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they are called grand pianos in Holland. They even called kind of wings, the same word as a wing of a bird.
Really?
Yes. So they also have like airplanes, they have wings, you know. It's a kind of a wing. It opens
it
up
makes
the wing
sense,
of
yeah.
the piano. So.
Mm-hmm. What's the word?
Vleugel.
Vleugel.
Which literally means wings, yes.
Amazing. Okay. So let's dig a bit deeper. Bösendorfer pianos are known for their exceptional quality and unique sound. What are some of the key factors that contribute to the distinctive sound and feel of a Bösendorfer piano?
Well, I remember that I came here to Austria already working with Bösendorfer pianos in Holland since 1997. That still a whole new world kind of opened up, but it was... It was for me a world in sound. So the possibilities in sound in this instrument are pretty incredible. So there are kind of levels in hearing this. So I thought I was already hearing a lot, having, I think, almost 25 years of experience. But then I found there was so much to improve still in hearing this and also working with this. So that was for me... It was an incredible experience, because this is a high-level instrument, and I really got that when I started working with Bösendorfer.
How did you start actually?
I started in the factory, actually doing regulation work.
So you came to Austria and you went straight to Wiener Neustadt,
to Wiener
where the
Neustadt
factory is.
In the factory, yes. And
but you had already experience from...
Yes, I already had 25 years of
So you
experience.
Started new, a new...
This was a new adventure, so I would say I worked with so many brands of pianos, really any brand you can imagine I've had through my fingers, but really just to have the focus on one brand and really exploring what is possible within these instruments, that was quite new for
but
me.
But where does one start? So what was your first experience ever with piano?
As a piano technician?
As a piano technician, yeah. Because
well,
this is something nobody can really envisage. Where does one start?
I started actually when I was 17 in a piano workshop where we actually bought a grand piano. And that's how I became kind of friends with the owner. And actually, I wanted to become a pianist. I really worked hard for this, but I was also quite reasonable with myself, like that this, I also need to eat. So I thought I better have a second option, and that was actually, I asked the guy, can I learn this profession, tuning pianos, repairing pianos, so that's how I got into this profession, actually at a quite young age. I was only 17, and that also made me decide to first explore this later than I studied at the conservatory, but I started really as a piano technician when I was 17, but really in a very wide range of activities.
So it was like, at first it was like learning by doing.
Learning by doing. So
yeah,
many of my colleagues, they go to a school. It's like a 4-year school where they have periods that they are working, of course.
This is in Holland. It's a special school for technicians.
Yes, this is in Holland, but also in Austria. I see that it's for quite the same, that they have periods that they work really in a piano workshop and then or with us in the factory. And then after 4 years, they have a kind of an exam. I never had any exam. I just started with this piano workshop. And from there on, I worked in many different settings in Amsterdam. And yeah, actually by fun, I applied at Bösendorfer, where they already knew me because I was, as I said, working with Bösendorfer since 97. So they knew me and they hired me. And yeah, look, here I am, almost 10 years in Vienna, and yeah, really loving working for Bösendorfer.
When I was a schoolgirl, the quality of the pianos I practiced on was incredibly poor. The first time I ever played on a Bösendorfer was when I became a student at the University of Music and Performing Arts in Vienna, age 16. So before that, I had never played on a Bösendorfer piano or heard the sound of it. I still remember my teacher telling me to imagine the sound. And to be honest, we were playing on something that looked like a piano but sounded like a box making some noise. Today I understand that this process was important for developing my inner ear and truly imagining the sound. But I know friends of mine, particularly recording producers like my husband, who can recognize a particular pianist after hearing just 2 to 3 bars. How does a pianist develop his own or her own sound? How can one distinguish a Horowitz, a Glenn Gould, or an Arau, Radulupu, Clara Haskell, and so on? What do you think is the secret?
Yeah, I've been thinking a bit about this question because, of course, I looked a bit at the questions you are going to ask me, and I think that every artist has his own distinguished sound, but I always can tell if a pianist is a good pianist by how he treats the instrument. So I would say the dynamics or using the instrument as it is. I've worked with one pianist and I couldn't believe what instrument he was practicing on at home. It was a very old Bösendorfer that somebody just put up for him, but it was really in an incredibly bad state, but he was able to practice on this, and he also said it didn't matter so much for him, whereas I need to have my instrument perfect before I can even play something on it. And he said it doesn't matter. And if you hear that guy then during a concert, then he has no problems, you know, going into really all the possibilities of the piano. So that's really going from the finest pianissimo to the hardest fortissimo, really using the range of the piano. And that is for me the good pianist. I can.
So do you think it's the touch, or is it much more than that? Is it the entire personality which they pour into it? How does it work for you?
Yeah, I think these people are really, really gifted. They have this in their fingers and in their minds, so they can really project this imagination about the piece. So they are really, for me, the embodification of music. Mm. And for me, that's interesting, where it really gets interesting. This is also where I was able to develop myself, to really give this, I would say, like a painter, like a palette with many colors. And then they are really using all those colors when they are performing. They are really using all the possibilities that I opened up in the piano for them.
Mm-hmm. That's very poetical.
Yes.
So can you hear when the piano was mistreated, and I don't mean by not being properly tuned or looked after, I mean mistreated during practice, like abusive playing?
That's I find that hard. I don't, you can only see that by, I would say, damages on the piano, but of course, a piano gets out of tune, and there are periods that a piano hardly gets out of tune when the humidity just fits, you know. And if a piano is tuned regularly, then you really have to mistreat it so bad to get it really out of tune. But thank God, I think our instruments are
stable.
Treated reasonably well and pretty stable, so you can concentrate on other things and aspects.
Mm-hmm. Since you used the word humidity, what's the ideal humidity and temperature? Obviously, we talk about summer and winter.
Yes.
And I also have a question from a follower who asks about the ideal humidity in an old house of the 17th century in France. So your advice is needed.
Well, the thing is to keep that humidity as constant as possible. So if it's on the high side, you know, then my experience is it's better that it's a bit more humid than that it's too dry.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a digital meter, but it doesn't matter too much, you know. You just have to see, hey, can I keep it in line? So here in the salon, I usually keep around 45%. So if it's too dry, I use a humidifier. If it's below 50, yeah. Yes. So I guess so. For me, the range is perfect. So around 45. That's mm-hmm. what I notice here in the salon, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Temperature is, I would say, not so important as the humidity. It should not get too cold, ideally not below, I would say, 12 degrees. That is really the maximum. And also not too hot, but here during summers we have a quite high temperature and also a higher humidity, so then you don't need the humidifier.
No, but it's a good point, because if we're going back to this 17th
yes,
century
that's
house,
I
suppose in the winter there is nobody there, and mm-hmm. so it's not heated. But
so
the important is that the piano is not next to the radiator.
So there's a system that is called a damp chaser or life saver. You can really Google these names. And this is a system that you can build inside of the grand piano or vertical that really regulates the climate in your instrument. So that means that the climate is then really specifically focused
mm-hmm.
only on that instrument, so not on the whole room. So the whole room could change, and this system adapts to the changes
Amazing.
In the room.
So you could freeze in your room, but the piano is happy.
Yes, because there's actually a heating rod under the instrument, depending on how big the instrument. It has one or two rods, maybe even three on a concert piano, and also a water system under the piano that reacts. This is actually where I have amazing experiences. I remember in Amsterdam there was a museum, and the door was open all the time, closing, and that instrument was so perfectly in balance. I couldn't not believe it. I had to
Amazing.
tune it, and that system was there. And I've noticed it with multiple customers. This is a really well worth an investment if you pay such an amount for a piano. I'm not talking about thousands of euros. It's a reasonable priced instrument, and I'm pretty sure that you can find a technician nearby that can install this lifesaver instrument. It's called lifesaver or piano. What did I say? Damp chaser,
Like,
yeah.
oh.
Dampf.
Amazing. The other thing I'm interested in knowing is I am often asked to choose a piano for an institution or, of course, for my concerts or recordings. Obviously, it depends on the repertoire, the purpose, and the pianist playing on on that piano. So I always have to take all aspects into consideration. Over time, I developed a sense of sound development, meaning I can hear if there is a potential for a particular piano to improve. But I'm interested to know, how do you hear this? How can you tell when a piano is, so to say, more talented than another and has more potential? And also, very importantly, where is the limit?
I would say that I always try to see what are the possibilities within any instrument to bring it to a best place. Yeah. So of course the brand is important. I mean, if you have an old Beusendorfer, you know there is potential in that instrument.
And if you have a new one, brand new.
A brand new one. Well, by really looking at the regulation. So there's a kind of a standard for regulation, but after this it becomes more personal. So that's where I usually work, because you must understand that they do a kind of a factory setting, and then after that you can see, hey, maybe if I turn that screw a little bit closer, does it bring an improvement? So there are certain ways to improve the sound quality. And so I kind of go through these options, and that usually works. But of course, with Beusendorfer or other top brands, these instruments are for me kind of three-dimensional. So there is always a way to the top. And other brands that are more on the second or even on a third level, you can improve them for sure. I'm always for improving, yeah, to get the potential out of it. But that's my love for this work. So I like that. That's what I like about this, to see, hey, can I improve this instrument? So I'm not one that is discriminating instruments. I'm always trying, okay, you have this instrument for me, and then I want to try if I can make it better. Yeah.
And where's the limit? When do you know, okay, enough is enough, that's the best I can
I
have
usually
for the
say, give me
moment.
3, 4 hours, and that's a bit of my limit in an instrument. If it doesn't get better, then
Should you give it a chance,
I give it a chance
okay.
for this. So I often say, if you give me 3, 4 hours, if you're willing to invest in that, then I can promise you, magical things will happen. Because there is a lot possible. People start playing an instrument, but it needs to be well taken care of. You cannot play for years and expect that piano to
Become
perform at the
yeah.
highest level. You need service and a constant monitoring of the instrument to have it perform.
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment, but yes, some people are not so sensitive. They don't hear it. They say, I don't hear that. I don't hear that. Then, okay, then then better to have another tuner. I like to work with people that hear that, that feel that and respect that, you know, they say, okay, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then your work is also appreciated.
Yes.
Another important aspect is knowing how to communicate specific requests to your technician, especially when you're unsure of the terminology to use. So what should we say to ensure you understand what we mean? I know I had a discussion with one of your colleagues on this topic, and we had a laugh when he said he had the pianist requesting a fruity sound.
A fruity sound.
Of course this doesn't work. I mean, how? How can this be possible? Anyway, but for example, if I ask for a colorful sound, this is the easiest, how would you interpret that in your technical language?
Yeah, I think this is a terminology, fruity sound. That's really cool. Like, you give it more lemon to them. It's a bit sour or more sweet, you know. But yeah, usually I think I kind of translate what the pianist is saying, and I try to understand them or give my version of what they're trying to say, you know, and then try to see to come together, actually. But a colorful sound, yeah, of course, that means that you want colors in the piano, that it should not be too metallic, but you want a piano with a warm sound and a wide range of possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I guess you're taking into account also the repertoire. And I mean, if you play Mozart, you would adapt it differently.
Yes.
If it's an instrument for a concert or for a recording.
Yes.
And differently for Prokofiev or
yeah,
something
ideal
else.
Is, for example, here in the Musikverein that we have two pianos. So if we have Mozart, we usually use number, I'd say, 39. concert piano, because that's the one that is warmer, that's more suitable for Mozart. And if we want something more, you know, strong or what needs more power with the orchestra, then we take the other one, you know, number 82 that we produced.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of our followers from Instagram, they know that there is a serial number inside the piano.
Yes.
So that's why we say number. Da-da-da.
Yes.
So it's not written on the legs or
No. It's inside of the piano, but we usually, as technicians, talk, hey, which piano did you use? Yeah, I used number 82.
Exactly.
Ah, okay, 82, yes. And then they know it's this piano.
So when we hear an amazing piano, the first question asks, which number was that?
Yeah. So they want to remember for the next time when they come, they have kind of a favorite piano in each concert hall.
Exactly.
Like pianists, they travel all over, so they know which technician to work, which piano to use.
But this is also a topic because, I mean, a fantastic pianist will sound amazing on let's say, number 39.
Yes.
And another pianist could sound not that great on the
exactly.
same piano.
Yes.
So we always have the hope that the piano will help us.
Yeah, exactly.
It will make the magic instead of us.
Well, they are always offered this possibility to choose, because there's not just one piano here, there's multiple pianos to choose from.
Okay, we have a question from a follower about the mechanics of the piano. Specifically, how the hammer knuckle can influence the speed of key repetition and the feel of resistance in the keys. So this also affects the sound quality. What is your opinion on this, and how can we be more aware of these mechanics? What can we ask our technicians to do to enhance the sound quality through the piano's mechanics?
Yeah,
you also sent me a picture, so very elaborate.
Yes. Yeah, you let me hear actually the person asking this question, which also helps me to answer this question. So this is, of course, a very important part in the piano. We call it in Holland the roulette. This is a French word, and roulette, it's like it's a roll. So when the key is pressed, then there is a kind of a kicker that kicks over this roll the piano. So that really has to do also with speed, so the attack on the string. So of course it's very necessary that this part is in a good condition, so we can do some things actually to maintain the quality of the roulette or of the knuckle. So when it's brand new, it's a leather. Leather has a structure, so leather is smooth in one direction and it has a resistance on the other side. So this is important, that that this leather is smooth, so that the structure of this leather is in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the factory, we can put also a little bit powder on it. It's called Teflon powder, which also makes this leather even more slippery, like ice, you know.
And does the, I don't know, over time get damaged and you need to replace it, or?
Yes, you can see that in older pianos. That's what the guy was also saying in the question, that it gets kind of a square because the kicker is there all the time, so then it gets damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can replace it. I also have done this, but this is of course costly. But you can also, when these are damaged, you can use spiritus. I don't know if you know this
alcohol,
and this helps us a bit to get that damage, that it that the damage that has been done, that it kind of the material opens up again, so that you
can use this more times or. Over.
Well, we used to do that with the piano restoration, to with a little bit of help you can get it in a better condition again, because leather that can last for 100 years, of course, it is, when it's a good leather, it's really strong. So that's a bit of ways to maintain that knuckle. Repetition, I would say, it's not only, of course, this knuckle, it's so very important, is the spring, the repetition spring, which kind of also operates with the knuckle. The whole mechanism operates together. So if one item is out of order, then it has an effect on all the rest of it. So there always needs to be a kind of balance between everything that you can regulate in the mechanism.
If you imagine that this knuckle is tiny, tiny, so if this is damaged, somehow the entire pianist is in disbalance.
Yeah, because this the kicker, what I told you, that needs to really be positioned really well under this knuckle. If that's not positioned well, then you don't have this strength in the fingers. You know, then you cannot control the sound. That's very important. So if this knuckle is damaged or not, or if the kicker is not positioned in the right way, then you cannot control the piano that much. So
yeah, these are all factors which obviously an audience wouldn't know.
No.
But the pianist is struggling.
They think you press a key and that's it. You know, they always think I'm only tuning, you know, on the piano, but it's a whole world around the mechanism and the sound. So ideally, first you have to have your mechanism really in order, and then you can work on the sound. Because if you work on the sound and then afterwards on something in the mechanics, that changes the sound again. So that's also in that question, that really changes the sound, something in the mechanic, something is not right or not regulated well.
Yeah, no, it makes me think that coming back to audience, obviously, the audience doesn't know how happy or unhappy a pianist is with the instrument. The instrument is always a new one. You always have to adapt to the one which is in the concert hall, or if you're lucky enough, one to be brought for you, but then that one you would have picked. But otherwise, yeah, you have to make it work with what you have. So it's a partnership within the two entities.
Yes, but I will also come back then to immediately I hear if a pianist has quality or not, because there's many pianists out there that just make a lot of sound, you know, but it's not about producing a lot of sound. That's also the distinction, I would say, between the Bösendorfer and other top brands, that we have so much range within the dynamics, but you got to be able to touch that or to you know, to make that happen in that piano. There's just pianists that cannot work with the Bösendorfer that easy. That's why they maybe choose another instrument, because it really opens up to the way of playing. You can, you're, I would say, a bit more vulnerable, yeah. And because you have such a wide range, there's so many possibilities. So yeah, I would say you have boring playing and you have really magical playing. So I have pianists I work for that I can hardly breathe, because it's so exciting, because they are using so much the possibilities in that piano. And that is for me the most satisfying, that I hear that piano being played to me within all its possibilities. That really makes me that makes me happy.
Coming back to 2019, where we first worked together. So it's been a couple of years now, and I've been working with you and one other technician.
Tom, yes.
Yes. And
which is also an amazing young man, because he really wants, you know, he also wants to get the best out of a piano.
Yes, but the amazing thing is that you really, I mean, I'm really fortunate to be working with you and Tom and with the entire Bösendorfer team. But what's really incredible is that over time you get to know each other. I know how you work, I know how to address, and I get the feeling that you know what I like in an instrument. And sometimes we don't even need to talk. You do your work and it sounds amazing, and then it's done. So it's so important to develop a relationship with your technician. And to sometimes, you know, when you travel, there's one technician everywhere, a different one, so you never know with whom you're working. Sometimes you're not even seeing that person, because by the time you come to the concert hall, either they're gone or they have not come yet, haven't arrived yet. So it's difficult, but I think it's so important to have a really good relationship with the technician.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you say that, because there's also pianists that could use this possibility but are not using it. But that's, again, what I said when I came here 10 years ago. I could not dream of opening up my hearing to this kind of level. And some pianists, they don't mind so much. If the piano is tuned, that's enough. But that you hear that also in the quality of their playing. So I really like this collaboration, because then you get to the best performance possible.
Yeah, this brings me back. I remember when we did a few videos about how to, you know, if there's a pencil dropping in the piano, you never learn this. It's as a pianist, you feel really some sort of, I don't know. I mean, a violinist knows how to change a string. Pianists, we're really totally unaware of what to do.
Yeah, and there's pianists that really work with their own piano. Christian Zimmermann is an example. He knows how to work on his piano. So this is a really an extra dimension to the pianist, I would say.
I think this should be obligatory.
Yes.
It was at some point at the music university.
I guess so.
Klavierbau.
Yes.
How could it? But I don't know if it's still here, but that would be something really amazing. And
they should make use of that. I would really be recommending this. Yeah. Also, because then they can use that collaboration with the piano tuner. Now, sometimes I have the idea they are almost going against, you know. They should understand that I am there for them to...
Not against
them. Yes, you know. That I'm really there to help with their performance, so they see the importance of this. Many don't see the importance of it. They don't have this experience yet, what a difference a good piano technician can make, because their playing is actually not at that level yet. They think maybe that's at the level, but maybe it's a bit blunt to say it like that, but for me, the experience is that the people that know, where we really put everything, you know, we go really through the whole piano, then you get really great results, awards on recordings. I have one pianist that I work with with recordings, and yeah, she gets one prize after the other. But we are really going
specifically
through all the areas. Yeah. She says what she wants and points out.
Yeah.
This tone is beautiful. These around there, maybe she can just focus on the music and perform at her best. Yeah.
There's another question, and your opinion is asked on sanding the heads of the hammers. Some technicians like to sand them, I don't know, once a year, while others avoid it because they believe it reduces the lifespan of the hammers. What do you think?
The hammer is, of course, the most important part in the piano because that strikes the strings and produces the sound. It depends how much is being played on the piano. 1 year, they even have a surface that is twice a year. And we just look at the shape of the hammer. If it's still like a pear-shaped, it should not be flat on the top. If it's flat, if the area that strikes the strings gets too big, then you really need to act. That doesn't mean that you have to take off a lot of these hammers. You know, you just need to kind of break the edges of the piano so that you get this pear-shaped size again. Also, every hammer is fitted to the string so that every string gets the same energy from the hammer, so that the fitting from the hammer on the strings, you shouldn't touch that too much because then you will have a lot of work again. So the art is to move as little material from the hammer, but still remain the shape. Mm-hmm. Also, the hammers get a kind of hard over time. People play a lot, so then you can do a little voicing, go in with the needle so that you open up the material. That also produces a result directly. But I certainly do not do this every year.
Does it have the same sound effect as the intonation, or is this a completely different?
No, it's what we also do with voicing. Then you also shape the hammers, you send the hammers with voicing, so it absolutely brightens the sound.
You have to imagine, I'm just speaking out to the audience, is that
yes, the sound gets a bit muffled.
Yeah, no, but I can see you how you sometimes sand it, but it's just really like one movement, like you're cutting off a truffle. That's it.
Yes, of course, over time playing the piano, the sound gets a little bit harder, you know, metallic. If the surface gets hard on the strings, so there you need to really know what you're doing to get that to get the good sound again. But if a hammer doesn't fit, then it kind of shows, like you just take one piece of felt off and you already hear it. So I kind of hear it when pianos do not fit on the strings. The ideas with voicing, that there is a perfect line in dynamics, that all the 88 keys cooperate with each other.
The world of piano technology is also evolving, not only surroundings. Have there been any recent innovations or advancement that have impacted how you work as a technician?
No, yeah, within Bösendorfer, we started producing the Vienna Concert Series since 2015. So that has, I think, enormously impacted our success in the world. I would say over time, like basically nothing much changed over 100 years in the mechanics of the piano. They try stuff, but usually the basics are quite the same. So there is not so much to be invented actually in the piano. I'm a kind of guy that give me the piano and I will do my best on that specific instrument. So I'm not so.
But do you have to have like absolute hearing, or
some people say that is not really an advantage. I would say I have a trained hearing in listening, like what I said in the beginning with voicing. There was this guy explaining to me and I was like, what is he talking about? I didn't hear that. And now it's like I immediately hear what enhancement could I make, or which section of the piano is not in line with another section, just to bring a balance in the piano, to get it in a better place as soon as possible. Yeah.
How important is that we, as pianists, we take the time to really talk to the technicians? Because sometimes, and some other technicians, I mean, internationally, sometimes I get the feeling I don't want to take their time. There's so much to be done. And I know that, you know, it takes a lot of time to get ready. But sometimes you feel that you disturb, because you spoke earlier that, you said earlier that you're not against the pianist, but for them there.
Yes.
But sometimes I get the feeling it's, I don't want to disturb with so many demands. So it's a thin line of how much to demand or how much to expect to...
No, it's also of course a question always about budget.
You
know, if it's been offered, when I tune around, it's difficult often to find the quiet. You know, there's little time, so the stage needs to be prepared. There's people moving around for sound, so you hardly get any time to prepare, really. And that's, I don't think that is a good sign, you know. It's been crazy. I've had in the here in one of the theaters that they turned on a kind of a van that produced the smoke on the stage. For the performance, you know, but this was so loud that you could not hear with the human ear what I was doing in the piano. Then I have, of course, some apps, you know, where I can tune into, but it was almost impossible, you know. So if a piano tuner is set between 5 and 6, I should have, you know,
a bit quiet
in that time to do my thing. Otherwise, I cannot guarantee a good result.
For aspiring piano technicians out there, and I know that there are some, what advice would you give to someone looking to enter this field and work with high-quality instruments like Bösenhofer pianos?
Yeah, what I did, as I said, I just went to a kind of a local shop and did some tests, you know, to see really if I have any affinity or maybe even talent, if I could hear stuff. And and then I tried to kind of start as a student, you know, within this the company. Of course, there is this school. I would say you need to have an affinity with the instrument. Ideally would be, of course, that you play the piano, but that doesn't mean anything, because there's also colleagues that cannot play the piano as I do, which
you can do amazingly.
Actually, by being a pianist myself, I so much better understand what pianists want. And some say that's a handicap, some say that's an advantage, but I see it as an advantage. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it here, I guess. But there's within Bösendorfer, I know they take 2 students a year that come and work in the factory, and they are trained besides their school in our factory in all the several aspects, because it's a wide aspect, of course.
So they, from what I remember, you get in and then you start from the bottom, from building up a piano.
Yes.
To all the mechanical steps.
Yeah, they within Bösendorfer, they really get this title piano builder.
Yeah.
And that's also because they really work in the broadest sense with the piano. So you have one area that is pure the mechanic, one area is really the wood section where everything is being prepared. And
yeah, so people goes into all these areas.
Yeah, the stringing, so they will work in the stringing, and so they go through all areas of building a piano till the very end, which is actually the finalization of the piano.
And this takes, what, 4 years?
I think it's 4 years, yeah. I have no title. I always work immediately within a company, but I also worked in the broadest sense. I just don't have a paper. I just have my reputation.
Okay, that's even more important. So, Zibrin, before we wrap up, can you tell us what you find most rewarding about your job?
Yeah, I think I told it before. I remember once, I didn't expect it, but the Wiener Philharmoniker was playing with Daniel Trifonov, and they were doing the third piano concerto of Prokofiev, which is really...
Mammoth.
Yeah, that is quite a demanding piece also for the instrument, and it needs to really, really be bright and loud. So I expected that they would choose another instrument, but all of a sudden he chose... actually for the Bösendorfer piano, so I kind of needed to move that piano in that direction, that it would be with such a big orchestra that you would hear it, you know, on the stage. So that was like 3 days in a row, and it was a whole process, of course, where it was demanded to get more and more out of this piano to get it at the level. And then we had a wonderful critics in the paper, which was then so satisfying to read that, because these are the people that I really appreciate the work that's been done there. So
it must be very gratifying when you hear even the critics or the audience say, that piano was amazing.
Yeah, and also people from the orchestra that said, very exciting to hear this piano during this piece that really did something to them. It moved them, so... I think there was a previous slogan of our company that is like, the Bösendorfer is the sound that really moves, you know, and that's what I still find. You get really amazing, amazing results and concerts.
Thank you so much, Zibrin van Hoog, piano technician at Bösendorfer, for sharing your insights and expertise with us today.
You're welcome. And also I want to say thank you for your audience.
Well, it's been wonderful to know more about the art behind Bösendorfer pianos. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in, and stay tuned for more fascinating insights from the world of classical music. Thanks for listening. This was Alexandra Siloča from Pianofortissimo. Don't forget to subscribe, share with fellow music enthusiasts, follow us on your favorite social media, and most importantly, worry less and let the music flow.